Hey everybody, hello smart people. Welcome back to the Libertarian Republican Podcast. This is episode 21. You thought I was going to stop at 20, didn't you? Well, I'm still going. And I've had over 400 downloads, which means there's about 20 people out there, unless there's people listening multiple times, but there's probably about 20 people that are with me, and we're working together to save the world. And we're going to save the world, maybe, probably not, but whatever, we're trying, right? You got to do something. So this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this dumb podcast, so where I stand in the woods, or you know, sometimes I'm at a dirt road, or I try to do this outside. I always do it outside because I think everybody records podcasts in studios or in their basement or in their living room or whatever. I thought, I'm going to do it outside. So in this podcast, episode 21, I am going to talk about Frederick Bastiat, who is somebody we all need to read. You all need to read Bastiat. Now, you know, we're Republicans, we're supposed to be the people who advocate for limited government, small government. We think the government should be small and leave us alone for the most part. And we have to be able to make really good arguments about why. Why should government be small? Because a lot of Democrats, you know, ultimately we need to convince Democrats to join us, to switch sides. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's what politics and winning elections is really all about. We have to win people over to our side by convincing people that we are the smart ones. We are the ones who know what we're talking about. Democrats, the Democrat politicians, are the stupid ones. And if you read Bastiat, you will really understand that. You know, today's Democrats and today's Republicans and libertarians. Look, Bastiat was a French philosopher, economist. He was a politician, basically, who wrote a series of essays. He wrote a great book called The Law. You've got to read The Law. You have to read Frederick Bastiat's The Law. And I think that's an absolute critical to understanding the nature of a good government. A government that focuses on life, liberty, property. So if you read The Law, you will understand that the best government is a government that focuses on life, liberty, property, and for the most part leaves you alone. And what happens far too often is the government becomes essentially a plunderer, right? It becomes a mechanism for stealing. Stealing from one group of people and giving to another group of people. So that's why you have to read The Law. But what I really want to talk about with this episode is the broken window fallacy. So Bastiat wrote a essay called That Which Is Seen Versus That Which Is Unseen. That's roughly the English translation, because he was French. And he wrote this in about 1850, 1849, or he died in 1850. Died young of tuberculosis, I think, at the age of 49. Really sad, because he was a brilliant guy. The broken window fallacy is this idea that destruction is good for the economy. And we've heard this before, where a lot of people, probably in colleges today, they're still teaching that World War II is what got us out of the Great Depression, which is just this sick, disgusting thing to say. But this idea that destruction is good for the economy, this idea that if I throw a brick through your window, it creates jobs, because now you have to pay a guy to fix your window. And so that guy now has money, and he can go to the bakery shop or the and he can buy a cake, and then the baker has money, he can go and buy a pair of shoes, and the shoe guy has money, he can, and so there's that whole thing that we see, right? That this whole reality that we see, but there's a whole alternate reality, a whole alternate universe there that we don't see, because it hinges on the question, what would you have done with that money if I hadn't thrown the brick through your window? If you had been allowed to keep your money instead of having to pay some guy to break your to fix your window, what would you have done with the money? You have gone and bought something, and then that guy would have had money, and he could have bought something. So there's this whole chain of events, this whole other alternate universe that we don't see. But what makes this universe better than this universe, than the first universe that we do see, is that in this alternate universe, you would have both a window and the suit or whatever it is you bought with the money that you would have spent fixing your window, right? So you are better off in that universe. And so we can apply that to the entire society, the entire economy, and come to the conclusion that that destruction is not good for the economy. So that leads us to, once we're thinking this way, that leads us to think about government spending, because that leads us to ask the question, what would you have done with the money the government took away from you if you hadn't given it to the government? What is this alternate reality, this alternate universe that none of us will ever see because we're giving so much money to the government? You know, we're paying all this money in taxes to the government. And the question is, what would we have done with that money if we didn't have to give all that money to the government? So that is it's such an important question to ask. And that is the question that we need to ask, and we need to think about, does the government know best how to spend our money? Now, there are some things that we need the government to do. And I've talked about this, the traditional relationship between government and the people, between people and government. The people pay taxes so the government can provide us with certain services that we can't do ourselves. For example, the military, national defense, a great example. It's hard for us to do that ourselves. So that's a good application of government. What about all the other stuff that the government does? You know, all this other stuff that the government does. And, do we need the government to be doing all of this other stuff? For example, a really great example is helping the poor. You know, the Democrats love to talk about how they believe in helping the poor, and the government's main job is to help the poor. But is it really the most efficient way to help the poor to just give the government more money? Every program that the government has to help the poor always seems to need more money. So the question is, well, what does the government do with that money when we give it to them? We have to think in terms of, what about the overhead the government has? The government has buildings, has painting and plumbing and maintenance contracts and landscaping and computers and desks and printers and printer ink and printer paper and electricity bills and the government employees have to get paid and the government employees have to get healthcare benefits. And we have to pay for all the retired government employees and blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. If there's any money left over, maybe they help the poor. But is that really the most efficient way to help the poor? Maybe it'd be more efficient if we just gave the money, if you gave your money directly to the poor and just cut the government out of it. Maybe that would be more efficient. Maybe if you gave your money to a private charity that doesn't have all that overhead. Maybe they meet at a church on a Sunday, on a weekend, and they don't have all this overhead. So these are important questions that nobody that no Democrats ask. Democrats don't ask these questions. Democrats, for Democrats, the government is a religion. It is religion. They worship government. Government is the you know, I've said before how they believe that all good things spring forth from the loving bosom of government. And of course, that's just absolute nonsense, utter nonsense. We need to be critical of what the government is spending our money on, because we need to ask the question, would we have spent that money better? Even on the things that the government, that we think the government is doing, like the military, for example. Now, yes, we need the government to take care of national defense and to have a military. But even in that, are they being efficient? Are they spending that money efficiently? Are they providing us a good value for all the money we're giving them? Or are they doing things with that money that aren't benefiting our national security? For example, foreign wars in the Middle East. Is that good for our national security? Do you feel any more secure if you've got troops in Afghanistan? I mean, now, of course, the troops are gone from Afghanistan, which is great, the great thing. But I'm sure there will be new places where they want to send troops soon. But, you know, so these are questions that we need to ask. Even the things that we want, things like helping the poor, you know, do we think the government is doing a good job of helping the poor? Or are they just making these poor people dependent on the same help? Are they helping poor people to not be poor? Or are they helping poor people to just maintain their poverty and just be dependent on government forever? You know, whereas if you were giving money, giving money to a private charity, your personal incentive is to help that person to no longer be dependent on you, right? Like, for example, if I think I mentioned the same thing in a previous episode. I can't remember anymore about, God, done so many episodes, 20 episodes. It's crazy. Like if, you know, a tornado levels your neighbor's house and now you've got your neighbors living in your spare bedroom or something, and they're you're very crowded and everything, your incentive is to help them to get out of your house, right? You want to help them to get out of your house. You don't want to, your incentive is not to have them living in your house forever, for the rest of your life, because they're a drain on your time, on your resources, they're crowding your space. You don't have your privacy, you know, that kind of thing. So your incentives are different from the government's incentives. Government incentives are not necessarily that if the government solves the problem, well, then we could dissolve that government agency and all those people in that government agency will lose their job. So, their incentive isn't to solve the problem then, isn't it? Is it? No. They have the exact opposite incentive that you do, that private citizens do. Their incentive is not to solve problems. So, you know, this is one of those questions we need to ask. You know, is the government spending our money wisely? Could we spend our money more wisely than the government? And the that which is seen versus that which is unseen is one of those things that we can raise. You know, we can say when we're talking with Democrats, because ultimately we're trying to convince them to join us, to switch sides. And this is one of those arguments that we can say, look, you can point to this government program, look at all the stuff the government's doing, but shouldn't we ask ourselves, what would the alternate universe be like where we are able to keep our own money and spend it the way we want? Because ultimately what we're doing is we are denied that in favor of this, of the government plans, right? So we are denied our plans. Maybe we had plans for what we wanted to do with that, with our money, but we can't follow through with those plans because those plans are destroyed and they are replaced with these plans of government people. And the question is, are these government planners Are they really smarter than us? Are they really, what are their incentives? What are their ambitions? What are their motives? And you know, maybe their motives are good, but they're just I've talked about this with the knowledge problem. You know, they just can't possibly have enough information to make these decisions, right? To make these to manage our society. So we shouldn't give them that power, and money is power. When we give them money, we give them power. We give them resources that they can command. They can now buy things with all this money. And that all that stuff that they're buying, and it doesn't matter what it is. It could be land, it could be cement, it could be steel. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be manpower. You know, we are, it's true, you know, we end up with a bureaucracy. We have this 2 million people, over 2 million federal bureaucrats. And a really good question is, well, what about the alternate universe where maybe a million and a half of those people were in the private sector? What would they be doing in the private sector? They would be producing goods and services in the private sector. And so we would have more goods and services, which means we would generally be experiencing a higher standard of living because we would have more goods and services available to us. There would be more competition. There would be more, prices would go down, right? Because as supply of goods and services goes up, prices go down. So you could make this argument that if the government gets smaller, our standard of living would go up, and because those people would now be in the, instead of shuffling paperwork, you know, government paperwork around, and filing useless, pointless bureaucratic paperwork, and making more rules for everybody to follow and all that crap that the government does, those people would be out in the private sector making things and in the production, they'd be involved in the production of goods and services, which would make our lives better. So these are some of the things that we can think about, and this is what reading Frederick Bastiat leads us to. So it's really important, I think, critical to read Bastiat. It's just one of the guys that you should read, but everybody should read. It's Frederick Bastiat, The Law is the book. The essay is not in the book, by the way, but the Broken Window Fallacy essay is not in the book. But so it's separate. You can just read that online, really. So, all right, I'm going to stop there, and thank you very much for listening, for watching. And once again, if you can, you know, you can get on Podbean, and you can like this on Podbean, give it a rating. You can comment on Podbean. Podbean is actually a really cool little website, and you can do, or you can look on iTunes and give me a good review. And I will see you on episode 22, the next one, episode 22. All right, bye-bye.